From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And you know what? I have the coolest job in the world because I am helping entrepreneurs be entrepreneurs. And some of that is telling stories, but much of it is around building the backyard advantage. And that really is showing a little love to the hometown entrepreneurs. And that's fun. That makes me feel good. When I can help somebody or we can help somebody in our community to have a little bit more success, it feels good. It is a fun job. Lucky to be here. Thank you for joining me today, because today we're going to have Eva Shepherd. She is the executive director of Chico Start, and she is part of the Backyard Advantage. She is helping entrepreneurs. So she's going to be coming up in a few minutes. But before we get to that, it is time for our JZL question of the week. And this is a question for those of you asked on behalf of those of you that expect to have some success, or maybe you are having some success building some wealth, and what are you going to do about it, right? You have maybe an exit or a big payday. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to put the money in the bank? Are you going to pay a bunch of taxes on it? How are you going to approach that question? And the question of the week is, Jay, how do I optimize my balance sheet to create diversification and efficient total return to support my lifestyle and goals?
So as you go through the exercise of thinking, okay, now I've hypothetically gone through an exit, I've got this, what I will call, I use buckets. I use these terms a lot, silos or buckets. I've got this bucket of capital now. What do I do to make sure that I'm ensuring that I have a paycheck that's going to show up in my account so my wife doesn't get mad or my spouse doesn't get upset? And how do I do it in such a way that, one, spreads risk? That's one of the most important things we talk about. Concentration is not necessarily a bad thing. Most wealth creation comes from concentration of some sort, either in a business entity that you founded, scaled and exited from, stock options or okay. public market securities.
Yeah, you've got a lot of your chips in one basket when you build a big company like
Correct.
That.
Correct. Yeah. And so the goal, now that you've reduced that risk by not having concentration, is spreading risk across lots of different asset classes, some of which have better tax efficiency than others. But the goal of any plan should be, how do I take capital and spread it across the various pieces, public, private, and there's lots of subsets of that, public market securities, equities, fixed income, cash, private, hedge, venture, direct real estate, lots of different things. And then how do I create, one, a cash flow stream, and then two, just an overall growth pattern from that portfolio, expected return of that portfolio that meets my goals.
Entrepreneurs are the heroes of the American economy. They take the risks, create the opportunities, and move the molecules. Now, back to the Marquee Media Studio, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Now I am here with Eva Shepherd, and she goes by Ava or Eva, which I'm kind of like, I don't know which to call her. I'll call her Eva just for the sake of the show. But she is doing a lot of the same work that the Growth Factory is doing at a different scale. She covers a really big area. She is the executive director of Chico Start, among other things. But you are helping entrepreneurs, right? Which is what I love. So I want to hear about that. But maybe just start with your background. What led you to this line of work?
Okay. So I was in the Bay Area doing any number of startups, venture capital, being on both sides of the table in venture capital. Once I got a taste of startups, first, while I was doing VC, I went, oh, there's my tribe, right? There's my people.
Why are they your people?
Utilitarian, you get to roll up your sleeves, do whatever it takes. You're more of, less risk averse.
Mm-hmm.
Their enthusiasm and passion was very attractive. Actually, in that, back in the day when I was doing that, 80s and 90s, That's also when I learned that the intellectual property really resided with the people. I mean, not to say that we don't, you know, there's a lot of value that's added by your intellectual property that's a patent or things to that effect, but I really kind of felt that that's what, and learned firsthand that that was what it really was yeah, the people.
The people.
Yeah.
I know, the people. That's interesting because anybody listening or watching this that hasn't been around startups, maybe you don't get it. They're a different breed. They are awesome, the hardest working people in the world. They make no money at the beginning, and yep, you know, the chances of hitting it big are slim, but mm-hmm, when they do, it is beautiful to watch, and it's fun to live vicariously through their desire and their, you know, blood, sweat, and tears.
Yes, and you learn a lot about yourself when you're in exposed to those teams and groups and in those situations, and you know, it's kind of like if you're someone who's naturally curious, you're going to stay curious when you're around those folks, and you're going to be on that. The visual that's coming to my mind right now is like being on a really fast treadmill.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure there's something more eloquent I could have said there, but that was a visual that came to mind.
Okay. So you're Bay Area. You're on both sides of the table in venture capital. So you must have been part of startups, and then also you're a venture capitalist as well.
So I did corporate venture capital for a company that used to exist a long time ago called 3Com. In that space, we did licensings, mergers, joint ventures, acquisitions, et cetera.
Okay. So yeah.
And then before that, way before that, I also was and interspersed with startups and things. But before that, I worked for a company called Technology Funding. Real straightforward name, right?
Yeah.
They were on 92 and Alameda Los Pulgos in San Mateo. And I worked for the partners there. And that was my first taste. And then I got to take my experience in startups and business development and other acumen when I was doing corporate venture capital for 3Com.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so then that led you, all that experience and understanding of the industry and the sector led you to Chico? I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah, there's a few jumps in between. So all the kids were out of the house and in college about 5, 6, 7 years ago now. And we already owned property up in Butte County. And we're like, hey, we're paying a lot of money for college. Let's regroup where our mortgage is, you know, cheaper.
Yeah.
When I first bought property up in Butte County, I could see the potential. I mean, it's a university town. You know, you're surrounded by ag. You have this really diverse population. I hadn't done any studying about the North State's population. I just went, ooh, I'm near a lake, yay. You know, I just, but when we decided to regroup, I quickly applied all my due diligence, you know, acumen to that. And I started looking at who's doing venture capital, who's doing networking events, who's doing tech, you know, and started, you know, introducing myself to people and doing outreach. And that's how I met Monique at one point too, and you. I could see that there were some huge gaps in the system, right, up there. The huge gaps in an quote unquote ecosystem up there. Whereas being in the Bay Area for 30 years, you know, you could throw a rock and hit a venture capitalist or go to a tech event, right? Anyway, so we just ended up there after also managing a ranch for a year. And because my husband and I are both ag backgrounds. And then we regrouped there. Yeah, it was fun.
And so tell me about the work that you do, maybe more specifically. You said you cover like 23 counties or something like that. Based out of the Chico area.
Correct. Okay. So as a governor's office of business, GoBiz, Cal OSBA, California Office of Small Business Advocate, we are an innovation hub, and which was just recently rebranded to Accelerate California Innovation Hubs. In that designation, my role is to cover the whole North State. So
what is the North State?
Yeah, right? It's this big space.
I've heard of Northern California,
but it's not really that distinct. So I've learned it's distinct when it comes to allocations and congressional coverage and things like that. So basically the North Far North is kind of around Yuba, Butte. Okay. You know, you could just kind of, you can't do a straight line across on the bottom, but you can go all the way to the coast, all the way to the Nevada border, and all the way to the Oregon border. So it's pretty large. I also overlap, strangely, with one county, one or two counties south of that, with their iHubs based on previous work we've done.
Okay, so when I think of the North State, and again, my geography is probably not the best, but big, are there any bigger cities in that, or is everything's kind of spread out? It's like,
yeah, so Chico is the largest population center in the North State.
How many people are in Chico?
About 111,000.
Is that does that include college students?
That does not include college students.
Okay, so.
And so that varies, right, every year.
Okay, I didn't realize it was that big. 110,000, is that what you said?
111, I think I saw on the green sign when I left town today.
Yeah, okay. Okay, interesting. I didn't realize it was that big. Okay.
Yeah, but we are the last stop before, you know, you hit a large town in Oregon. So so we are the largest area. But I cover approximately 50,000 square miles, but that's only about 1 million people.
Okay.
So.
Where's your favorite, like Shasta would be, like I'm thinking the favorite place I would like to go if I, I mean, Chico's cool. It's a party town for if you're a college
That's
student.
That's what they say.
Yeah. Okay. yes. I have friends that went there and I can validate
that.
It's well known
for that. Yes.
But so you got Chico and then obviously Yuba cities include Marysville too or no?
Correct.
Okay. So what would be the next biggest town?
Reading.
Oh, Reading. Okay.
Yeah. So Reading. And then beyond that, you know, you have your smattering of towns like Yreka and...
That's right,
and,
yeah.
You know, Yreka and Eureka and... Right.
And then what's along the coast? You said it goes all the way to the coast.
Correct. So from the top down, you have Del Norte County, right? And then you have Humboldt County, and then you have Mendocino County, and then you have Lake County, right? And then on the interior, the elbow, I like to call the elbow that brushes up against Nevada, is Lassen, Sierra, Plumas, Nevada County. I also cover Placer and
you do?
All the way down to Alpine.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you covered Placer. So you cover that area too.
Yes,
then.
I do.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. So you do entrepreneurial ecosystem development work.
Right.
And are you hands-on with entrepreneurs or who are these? What are these people, you know, typically? Are they startups?
So I'll break that question into two pieces. One, the entrepreneurial ecosystem is about bringing in partners that we may not have, so filling the gaps, and so sometimes I'm doing outreach all the way to the Bay Area for that, for, say, rapid prototyping, commercialization, et cetera, things that we don't have in the North State. Other things that would include investors, too, because capital is a huge hole, right? Although we just got a new – oops, sorry, I didn't mean to although we just got a new venture capital group up in Humboldt, I'm very happy to say, Lost Coast Ventures. Let's give them a shout out there. And a smattering of private and angels. But, I mean, it's nothing like what Sacramento's got going on.
Okay.
Right, nothing.
I feel
like
Sacramento and Placer County is part of this. This is Sacramento region. It's turning a corner where we were... Our image was maybe a little less of a great place to do a startup, at least. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's got small business. But now the startup community is strengthening quite a bit.
Absolutely. Between Growth Factory, SEA, the Sacramento Entrepreneurship Academy, and other huge efforts, whether they're out of the SBDC and Capital Corridor, whether they're the surrounding counties, Elk Grove, oh my goodness, love Elk Grove and love what they're doing. The city's invested, right? I keep sending, so I know Luis there, and he sends me the updates. I keep sending to my city, say, this is what you should do. This
he gets it. He understands it. Yeah. Okay, so you work with economic development people. Luis is an economic development leader over in Elk Grove.
Right.
He's Daryl Doan.
I don't work with Daryl directly, but I know that name.
Okay, yeah. So you work with those people to help them drive economic development and it's predominantly entrepreneurship.
Correct. Okay. So, and that's more about answering it in two parts. So, yes, we are pulling together as many partners as possible to help support the North State and then fill in the gaps. And again, it could be from the area. It has, a lot of times, as we know, it has to come out of the area. And then separately, I do work. Is that good English? I do work one-on-one with entrepreneurs as well.
Okay.
So one-on-one counseling, technical assistance, and we do help support a handful of industry sectors as well through Chico Start. Okay. We have initiatives that pay us to do that as well.
And how much of this, you know, when I think of Chico Start, I don't think about the whole North State. It's interesting.
It's
to,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. So interesting to know that I know of you as Chico Start, but mm-hmm. you cover a huge territory. Yeah. What's the impact that you're making?
I just took over about 3 years ago, but Chico Start itself is enjoying its 10-year anniversary this year. Thank you very much. You can dub in some applause here. With that, we have been keeping our metrics pretty tight for the last 3 years. So we've helped over 300 companies. We've created over 450 jobs. And we have had about, if I was to talk about investments and capital funding for in divisions, I would say that 30% has been like huge grants, and then 70% has been a division between friends, family, and fools and VC. Mm-hmm. And we've had a couple of them already this year, in fact, as well, get accepted into accelerators.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
You work with Fourth Wave Accelerator,
yes,
I assume?
Yes, Cheryl, Nancy.
Yeah, great people over there. Yeah. So thinking about this, you mm-hmm. talk about the gaps, and I think it's probably it's changed in Sacramento. How has it changed in the rest of the area that you cover, like Chico and Yuba City? Because I, you know, other than when I see what you're posting on LinkedIn and stuff, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind a little bit, even though it's part of, you know, it's not far from Sacramento, even though it took you an hour and a half to get here, but it's kind of all part, a big part of your territory is really us.
Yeah, actually it is. But I don't have to work as hard in this area because you've got such a great ecosystem already in place. Mm. Sacramento startup scene, you know, Cameron over at, who's also my peer at CSU, right? So at mm-hmm. Sac State, and then I at Chico. And then, you know, there's also a handful of people I've worked with to find out what they're doing in their areas, whether, again, I'll mention the SBDC, or if it's people are doing their own startups really focused on helping underserved and people of color, et cetera. So like Nicholas Hastings, I don't know if you guys have ever interviewed him or talked to him. If you haven't, you need to have him on. Fabulous guy. I also know from my work, I also did a little work for the SBDC in the past as well. So I know people like Chris Horton and others in the area. You know, you've got a lot of effort going on here that's already kind of had the engine's been running already. Mm-hmm. The engine hadn't been started where I was.
Okay.
You know, and so it's taken me 3 years for people to take us seriously. But it's really about what you're doing. What you're doing is elevating the story, right? You're celebrating the story, right? You're getting the story out there. We had to start that kind of at a ground level. And so we started that in about 2019.
Okay. In terms of getting the story out, how do you get the story out?
Well, first I'll start with my philosophy. My philosophy is a community is only as strong as a story it can tell. And if it's focused on the negative and not focused on the positive, you know, what people say, if you're not growing, you're dying. We see a lot of that in the North State. When we think about poverty levels, when we think about lack of opportunity, lack of planning post-lumber, like nobody had a plan, right? SSDD, if you know what that stands for, right? Lots of attrition. And so getting the story out includes working with local champions, because there are people who have hope and energy and really want to see things change too. So it can be described as a hub and spoke model, right? So I'm trying to leverage my relationships throughout the North State to grow that and have them tell their stories too. And we give them a platform to do that through multiple different ways, whether it's our newsletters, whether it's our entrepreneurial conference that we have every year, or other avenues.
Okay. So can we talk about some success stories? So someone
sure.
comes to you, and how is there, if I'm a startup mm-hmm. or an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. maybe some, how does my life change?
Well, I don't know if it gets any easier.
Yeah. I don't think entrepreneurship, it takes a while before it gets easy.
Yeah. I mean, in some cases, you know, every case is so unique, right? And in some cases, I'll use one success story where she actually took off pretty quickly. And then I'll use another success story where it kind of builds a longer tail. So the company's name is Hexas Biomass. The name of the founder and CEO is Wendy Owens. She's headquartered out of Washington, but has a North State office. She is focused on a proprietary rhizome called, I should know what this is called, Xanograss. And it is a regenerative grass. If you're to know what, if corn and bamboo had a baby, that would be this. So it could be harvested twice a year. And depending on how it's processed, it can be anything from biofuel, like a biodiesel, to pet bedding. So it's kind of this amazing thing, right, that she decided to make a business out of. She approached me about 2.5 years ago and needed some planting sites. So I hooked her up with a couple different counties. Like I said, she also has a North State office now. From that, we also contributed to her getting a NSF SBIR, which is a, for those of you who don't know what that is the National Science Foundation Small Business Initiative Research, something or other, but it's a grant, which means you're not giving away equity, right? I'm big on grants. And so she got an initial phase one for $250,000 and then got, because of that, got to do a proof of concept. That proof of concept then won her the opportunity to go after the phase two, which was 1.2 mil. She went for that, got that. Continued to do other plantings, proof of concepts, and partnering. Got some very large contracts with people like Continental Energy and others. Wow. And then she literally, just last month, was, I don't know if the word's voted, but she was appointed first place in the Cartier is in jewelry, Cartier Climate Fellow, so which is a global competition. So that's a huge success story.
Yeah.
And she's going like gangbusters. And then there's some people who have to slog at it for a really long time. But they believe in what they do. And they have the passion to make it happen. And sometimes you just need a little help. Like Wendy just needs a little help. Right? And so we have received outreach from several companies that might have had a patent, but no team. Might have had a great idea, but weren't developers. So we have been doing a lot of that kind of partnering, making contacts and introductions and making the partnerships happen to then therefore go forward.
Yes, engineering the win, if you will.
Yes, so engineering the win. I like that. I like that. Yes. I don't know who you stole it from, but I like it.
I know who I did. So thinking about that, so you have these success stories. Right. Some are slow, some are more fast. Mm-hmm. Why do so many not succeed?
Well, the statistics are not in startups' favors, right? I mean, we can all quote those statistics. It's like, I think it's forever people just rattle off it's 1 in 10, right? But yet during COVID, there was more business starts than any other time in history, right? So, and of that, I think 48% to 50% were women, right? So it's like, yeah, it's opportunity or what's the other word? What's the opposite of opportunity? Or adversity, right? It's going to push you in one way or the other, right? And so I saw a lot of people taking advantage of having that downtime in a way to say, hey, what do I really want to do? So from an opportunity mindset, and others were like, oh, crap. We have to have some income, and maybe this is the time to start my business, right?
Yeah.
Why do I think some fail or so many fail? Overall or in my area?
Probably similar, don't you think?
It is. People are the biggest variable, and I think people are the biggest variable in almost any situation, but I think that picking the right teams, picking the right partners, picking the right people to outsource with, those all can create friction or they can be just a godsend, right? I think often also that entrepreneurs are stubborn and I don't need any help or I'll figure it out myself. And then when they get that letter from the IRS, they wish they had hired that accountant. Or when they get that letter from the government saying, hi, you forgot to file with the DOJ for your nonprofit status again. Right? Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that when you have to make trade-offs like entrepreneurs do, that sometimes it's hard to pick which one. And I'm not sure that they always have the kind of mentoring that they need or that they realize that they need. So part of what we do in the North State is make sure that there's a mentoring program, but also advertising that program. And when I'm meeting with people one-on-one and doing kind of initial intake and assessments and things like that, I try to make sure that I share, you know, awareness of all the resources that we can bring to bear, how they can get access to that, you know, maybe fill in holes on their education with different partners. But mentoring, I think, is a huge tool that people don't use enough.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned COVID and how the world changed, and obviously Zoom, it's everybody's, that must have helped your job a lot in terms of, you know, the big geographic area that you cover by, you know, in an automobile, all of a sudden you don't have to drive as much.
Funny you mentioned that. Before COVID, I did not need any grants to keep my doors open or my lights on. My co-working space and incubators were filled, busy. People were getting on each other's nerves. That's how, because I have an open space. It's mm-hmm. not individual offices like you have here. So after March, I think by May, I could roll a bowling ball through the place and not hit anybody, right? Yeah. There was still only a handful of us coming in. And that's only because I'd instituted protocols in February, knowing what was coming and having been involved in whatever that flu was in Europe at one point. And I was just like, you know, let's just get ahead of it. Anyway, I had to take a hard look at my business and say, okay, what would I tell my students? I would say, okay, what makes you unique? What's the one thing you can do that no one else can do? What is it? And not that no one else can do it, but what's your unique offering? Because anybody can build a co-working space. Anybody can. Seen it happen, right? Mm-hmm. But does that mean you have everything that the co-workers need or the entrepreneurs need? So I was thinking about how much entrepreneurial resources we had and how could I then put it all online, right? So forcing me to look at, so I kind of did my own lean business canvas model about how do I pivot my business? And that's what I decided to do. And then I started to take it a step further and borrowed from the 90s, the content aggregation model, right? And started aggregating content and packaging it and putting together landing pages and real-time video and as well as archived video for our rural areas. So examples are in Paradise, we have a co-working space called Ridge Start, powered by Chico Start. And then we have a landing page that has mirrors almost ours, but it's specific to the Ridge communities.
Okay.
Same with Yuba. So the Work Hub, we also have the same relationship there. So we're franchising, mm-hmm. right, art. So that's how I chose to approach it. That's now working really well. We have an additional two other sites that we recently done deals with. So Indian Valley Innovation Hub, which is Plumas County, and then also Advancing MODOC out of MODOC County. And then we have about five more in the pipeline.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff. Do you still have your co-working in Chico too?
Yes, sir.
Still have that.
Yeah.
So are people coming back into the office now?
And yes, they are.
Using it.
Okay. Yes, they are. It's not full. And I honestly don't feel like it'll be a while till it is. Mm. And so I'm looking at other avenues in which to bring more people in. And that's working with the college, ironically, right?
Okay. What are you doing with the college?
So I'm the director for the Center of Entrepreneurship there, similar to Cameron here mm-hmm. at Sac State. And but I also teach. So he doesn't have to teach, lucky guy. Mm-hmm. As part of that, I run an experimental class. And that experimental class, thanks to donor Scott Bedford, big claps for Scott Bedford. Scott's donation has made it possible for me to have students start companies with no equity back to the school.
Oh, wow.
So it's a grant. Yeah, it's fabulous. And so they have to start their own company, do their own structure, right? Get a lawyer, you know, file taxes, have a bank account, you know, all that stuff. And so we have a small group that's a startup team, and they start a business together.
So they are in college at this time.
Yes, sir.
They're in college, yes. And they're starting a business. It doesn't have to be a tech company. It could be any. It could be selling T-shirts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. It could. And they get one semester to break even.
Oh, Okay, so, you got to make sales.
That's right.
What fire a concept.
Hose, fire hose.
That's great.
Yeah.
So many startups that I see, they decide that they want to take their time on getting revenue going. I love, good job on that.
Yeah, I'm all about pushing. Hey, pre-book your sales.
Yeah.
Right? Pre-book your sales. And you're going to find out much quicker who your customer, your MVP, excuse me, your minimum viable customer, right?
Yeah.
That has been a blast. So it's actually a unique program. I did my research. No other college is doing this. They all want equity, or they all want, you know, so it's been a blast. And then I've already got my next cohort picked for next semester.
So this donation gives them like the seed capital to get it going. How much is each one?
Oh, so there's a very large donation, but we only take $5,000.
$5,000 per company?
Semester.
How many go through the class in the semester?
Well, I experimented with 9.
Okay.
But can you imagine how hard it is to get 9 people to make a decision?
Yeah. So this is just one company, then 9 people to do
one
company. Yes,
and they're all co-founders.
So you're doing one. Okay, right. Got it. Yeah, I can imagine it.
Yeah, so next semester we're going to try it with 7.
Okay.
We'll see how it works.
That's interesting. And does somebody do they decide who's in charge? Is that part of the process?
Actually, we didn't. I've been very careful about that. So one, going back to my comment earlier about it's the biggest variable is people, mm-hmm. right? So I was very picky about the personalities that I pick, because I want to make sure that no one's sucking up all the oxygen out of the room.
Okay.
And that no one is pushing other people's ideas out of the way.
Right. But these are real companies.
Yeah.
Real companies. And in any real company, you've got a CEO.
Yes. But that's the one thing we didn't choose to do. We did task teams, like here's your sales team, here's your social media team / marketing team, here's your customer service team, here's your product team, da da da. And we let people's natural leadership abilities in their different areas. It was a really great experiment. I mean, that's the best way to put it. I didn't want people to get lazy by saying, oh, it's really all going to be on CEO's shoulders or on the vice president. So, and even though I'm not always the biggest fan of a flat organization, I'm not, for purposes of the fact we only had a semester, where we're really looking at, okay, you guys all got to get some work done. Nobody That's can great. Let their ego get in the way.
So what was the company they built?
Fusion NFC, which I didn't pick the name. They did. And it is this. It is a digital business card.
Oh, okay.
So I will share links with you after this. But so it doesn't replace the business card if you need a business card, like real estate people need paper business card. But if you're at a trade show, or if you're
use the QR code, is that what it is?
No.
Oh.
No, I would just tap your phone.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, tap my phone and I get the contacts.
You would decide whether you want it or not too, which is also nice. We don't keep anyone's information because they program it themselves.
Okay.
Yeah, and it takes like a minute to program it. And you can change whatever's on there. Like right now I have a survey on there. I have links to both the Center of Entrepreneurship and Chico Start. I have my LinkedIn link and I have just my contact card. Whereas some teachers have used it to put their online calendar for booking office time, or artists put their gallery, like an example gallery and things like that. Other people I know put their white papers on there. And when you're at a trade show, it just...
Oh, yeah.
So much easier.
That's great. Good idea.
Yeah.
And is the business still operating?
Yes. So the end goal... I shouldn't talk so much about this class, but... the end goal each semester is for people who want to continue with the business to continue and then buy out those who don't. So of the 9 that were in this particular class, 6 decide to stay on.
Wow.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, and they get pro bono space inside Chico Start as well, because it would be incestuous if I was to take any receipt of any money, right? But they need to have a space to work 24/7, and at school that doesn't happen.
That's great. Okay, so what did I not ask you? What do we want to make sure we cover about you and what you're working on?
Well, back to Chico Start. So we've really grown our footprint, obviously, but not just regionally. So we work really well with the CSU Fresno WET Center and their VC Valley Ventures. We also are doing great work with CSUMB. So you're saying, well, why is Chico Start talking about CSUs? Well, because in those areas, they're also doing really innovative things. And those kind of things that they're doing help support our area. For example, we are a Blue Tech Valley hub, and Blue Tech Valley is an initiative paid for by the CEC. And that initiative is focused on water, energy, and ag tech. Well, that's great because I live in an area, my whole region, right, needs those kind of technologies coming down the pike, right? So that's something I'm very involved with, and I host informational things, CalSeed, CalTest, you know, work with Clean Start, who's also one of you guys' local partners, mm-hmm. you know, and things to that effect. And we also host the two events a year that focus directly on that. We're also working with the Monterey Bay Drone and Robotics Technologies Initiative, but called DART for short. So we're mapping assets in the North State, say airports that are not being used for commercial purposes, and looking at how OEMs in the drone space can leverage that for either ag or other kinds of testing, wildfire testing, things like that. The list goes on. But my primary focus is really on bringing more investors and more industry to the North State. So self-appointed on that last point. So no one asked me to do it. Mm-hmm. No one gave me a grant to go do it. But like I said, if you're not growing, you're dying. Right. And so we've worked very hard in getting new industries to our area since there wasn't a big plan post lumber. I couldn't find it anywhere. They kept saying, you know, healthcare and manufacturing, but I wasn't really seeing a lot of, you know, it was static to minimal growth in those areas. So we brought in a biotech company that's focused on adult human stem cell research. We brought in a robotics company that does haptics, like so the fine motor skills of mm-hmm. what hands would do. We have also brought in a nanotech R&D arm. The headquarters is down in LA, but the R&D arm is up in Chico. And we've also brought in the biomaterials company I was talking about, Hexas, right? And lastly, right now we're working our newest acquisition, so to speak, newest industry to bring to the area is green hydrogen. And so the headquarters are in Texas, but they just bought 15,000 acres in Tehama, and they're looking at gasification and putting in refueling stations for hydrogen semis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so Tehama is more than glad to have this kind of industry in their area. And they're also working with Redding Rancheria in that area to build an eco village that will run off hydrogen and be not dependent on PG&E.
What a concept.
Right? So these are the kinds of things I help support.
Good for you. Well, we appreciate what you do, and I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing what you do. And so I'll ask the final question.
Oh, okay.
Advice to a startup. What Ava's wisdom to a startup? Give me a mic drop answer on this.
Wow. Okay. This one I wish I could have studied up on. I could use the excuse that, you know, it's a case-by-case basis because each startup needs something different. They don't all need the same thing. But in some ways, they all need the same things. Okay, fundamentals, business fundamentals. If I could say anything, take some damn financial classes, people. If financial literacy is not one of your strong points, make it one of your strong points. I cannot emphasize that enough. Get a mentor. Call Chico Start, call Growth Factory, call, and leverage as many free resources as you can. The SBDC, and I will mention them again, we're also an SBDC Tech Hub. So we recently got that award as well. And that means we work with the Tech Futures Group, which is an accelerator. I mean, you'd be surprised at what's in your own backyard. Network. I mean, I could say like 1,000 other things, but.
Well, that's great information. I mean, because I think so many people try to do it alone. And if you're not good with finance,
right.
Maybe you should get somebody on your team that is good with finance.
Yes.
You brought up earlier to bring people in, partner, and, you know, those resources are there. You just have to be wise enough to know where your weak spots are and go get the help.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and I'll use that as a segue to say, this is how we've also gone and worked with several partners and sponsors. I mean, including banks. Five Star Bank is one of them. In fact, John Gregory was one of the first to help start Chico Start back in the day, like 10 years ago. U.S. Bank, big supporter. Mechanics Bank, big supporter. Northern California National Bank, huge supporter. And those are all in Chico, but they're also statewide. And some are more than statewide, obviously. But really look at, you know, really looking at those for partners too, help also bring those kind of financial literacy and financial resources for workshops and other things like that for your area. So, I mean, we're really blessed.
Yes. Well, great job on changing the state, the North State. You've made an impact, obviously, and appreciate what you do. Obviously, entrepreneurship is near and dear to me, and so we definitely share that in common, and look forward to continuing partnerships and working together and helping one another.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I'll leave on one last note with a plug. Sorry. And that's for Grow Tech Fest, our annual entrepreneurship conference. This will be our fourth year, and that is on October 11th and 12th, the week after GFX.
Oh, okay.
All right. And it is the only one north of Sacramento, and it's held at Sierra Nevada Brewery, and we'll have two.
Oh, you can't go wrong with that.
Right, yeah, bar opens at noon. and it's two full days there, and we'll include two keynote speakers, which I'm super excited about. Jeff Spence of Source Capital, who's a global fund, and Andrew Gezdecki of Acquire.com.
Wow.
All right. So there's some plugs.
So October 11th, right after GFX, go up to Sierra Nevada Brewing and have something cold and wet to drink.
That's right. And a good time had by all.
I love it. All right. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, you Mark.
Now, let's get Mark's perspective and closing thoughts from today's show. We're back to the Marquee Media Studio. It's the Mark Haney Show.
Thank you all for joining us. Great information. Great stuff happening out of Chico. And don't forget about GFX coming up October 5th at the grounds in Roseville. We are bringing on venture capitalists, entrepreneurs from all over the region and from outside the region to share their knowledge, to connect you to their wisdom, and really to connect you to the backyard advantage, the love that we have for entrepreneurs in Sacramento. Again, go to growthfactory.us if you want to come to GFX. Get yourself signed up. It will be the place to be October 5th at the grounds in Roseville. To all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship, and of course all you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life here at Haney Biz, here at the Growth Factory, here at the Mark Haney Show. We're never above you, never below you, always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.